Praise his wonderful name. Tonight, we're going to open our Bibles and to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we'll look back at verse 6, beginning at verse 6. We have some selected verses from there. Hebrews chapter 11. Just a second, please. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It's a well-known verse. It says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Again, it is impossible. That is a statement of fact. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone, any person, any individual who is desirous of drawing near to God, that's coming to God, must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I want us to pay attention to that word, sincerely. You must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It means those who come to him by faith, believe that God exists. Their actions or their coming to God, their seeking after God, is something that's coming from the heart. It is sincere. They simply believe God by faith. The writer to the Hebrews goes on after defining faith. You can have a look at verse 1. He tells us that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. We can't see it, but by faith, the reality is seen. For it is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 1. The writer picks it up in verse 2 again as an example. He says, "By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command." That's the first statement. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. We can't reason it out. We just believe simply by faith. goes on to tell us that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Where did we get that from? It's in the beginning of the scriptures, Genesis chapter 1. Out of nothing, God created everything that we can now visualize. We see the animals, we see the vast expanse of the sky, we see the sea, we see all the trees, we see human beings. We know that everything that we now see by faith, we know that it came about by God's command. Yes, we know that the Lord molded man from the dust, but we know that the dust came by his command. The writer goes on to tell us in Hebrews chapter 1:11 rather, and verse 18. He starts to tell us about the names of some individual. Verse 18 tells us about a very important person in the Bible. He said, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. By faith. Didn't know what the journey would look like. Didn't know what the end result would be. Didn't see it. But by faith, he believed that what God says is sure. The Bible said he went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. These are his descendants, his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. Verse 10 tells us Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old, beyond the normal age of having children. By faith, she had a child. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Simply by faith. Tonight, I would like to ask the question, or our lesson for tonight comes in the form of a question. Does faith have something to do with submission or obedience? Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Impossible to please God without faith. Any man who is desirous of drawing near to God must believe that he exists. He rewards those who sincerely seek him. Thus, faith has something to do with submission, obedience. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. We're going to look back on the life of this patriarch who the writer to the Hebrews this wrote of his faith that God rewarded him. Genesis 17 in verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarah, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarah. From now on, her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessings. But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. Abraham made a statement to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. Ishmael was Abraham's son by his bond, or maidservant, Sarah's maidservant, Hagar. But the Lord said, not Ishmael, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. Genesis chapter 18. Let's read from verse 1 going down. It said, the Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you have honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey. All right, they said, do as you have said. And so Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, hurry, get 3 large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread. Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and the roasted meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. Verse 9. Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitors asked. She's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? Mission impossible. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Here, or rather 15 verses, we have some visitors from the Lord that came one day while Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent. And if we read further along, we'll recognize that these men were angels from the Lord. If you read further along, it will tell you about the destruction of Sodom that these men knew about. But they brought a message to Abraham. They brought a message about Abraham and Sarah having a child in the following year, based on the promise that God had given them. Everything seemed impossible. Sarah, reasoning within herself, painted the picture of impossibility, and that was based on the facts that she faced. But God said, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for me to do? Scripture would have us to understand that as God had told Abraham, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 21, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. God's words are sure. His promises are sure. Bible says she became pregnant, Genesis 21 and verse 2, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac, just like God said it would. Scripture tells us exactly the way that God said it would happen. That's how it happened. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Verse 12, let's move along. Genesis 21 and verse 12. building up to verse 12. The son of Hagar, the servant of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham's son, Ishmael. There became an argument where Sarah was displeased with the actions of Ishmael. And Sarah came to Abraham and said, I want you to get rid of Hagar, the servant, and Ishmael. For he's not going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac. What God has planned for Isaac, Ishmael is not a part of that inheritance. I want you to get him and his mom out of here. Bible tells us that Abraham was very upset. But God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you. For Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Faith. Now there's a result. Isaac is here. And all the dots, all the promises that the Lord has given Abraham and Sarah. It's easy now to see some of these things coming to pass. Once Isaac is here, it means that he can have children. There's a possibility for through Isaac, for other children, when he is of age, he will take a wife and other children will be born into the family. And then the possibility of my descendants becoming like the stars of this sky and the sand of the seashore. It is for real. So, Bible said Abraham got up early the next morning and sent Ishmael and Hagar away. Genesis chapter 22. And this is where we will open up now to the subject of the night. Here is the promised seed, the promised son, who, through Isaac, there's going to be a great number of descendants. And just so that we will understand that at this time, between the birth of Isaac and Genesis chapter 22, with this test that Abraham is about to face, Isaac, he said, is widely accepted that he is approximately 37 years old. Some say 25. They widely accept that Isaac is about 37 years old. He's a grown man. Now, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. That's the first thing it tells you, brothers and sisters. A man of faith is always in constant relationship with God. When God calls out to him, he's not afraid to respond. He doesn't go in hiding. He can appear before his maker. The Lord said, take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac. Let there be no misunderstanding. What about Ishmael? No, the Lord said, your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. And go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Go. Take him, the one who you love, your only son, Isaac, and carry him to the land of Moriah. I'm going to show you a mountain. I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. How could Abraham, or how should Abraham respond? How should one respond to God with such a demand? Here we will notice, brothers and sisters, that worship is bloody. Worship should cost us life. To worship God could mean losing your life, losing our lives. Take him. Go to the mountain, to the land Moriah. I will show you a mountain. Imagine, I want you to immerse yourselves, your minds, into this demand that the Lord has placed on Abraham. You're to take your only son, Isaac, the one whom you love. The other one is already banished from the tents of Abraham. And his only son, Isaac, is here. And the Lord who gave him this son tells him, I need him as a burnt offering. Brothers and sisters, what this tells us, Abraham responded with faith, obedience, and submission. The Bible tells us that the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Not questioning God. He didn't demand it. He didn't try to negotiate. He believed God and sincerely responded to God. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13 tells us obedience comes from the heart. One should respond to God with obedience from the heart. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart. And with all your soul. Service from the heart. That requires submission. Obedience. So, Bible said, then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. Not knowing where this mountain is. He's just going to Moriah. By faith, he believed that God will tell him. But it requires obedience, submission to God. He said, on the third day of their journey, 3 days long, this man is journeying and in his mind, the command of the Lord. I need Isaac as a burnt offering. But there's something that is not said in the text that we can look into also, is that Abraham and his teaching and influence over his son Isaac, who remained silent and faithful up to this very moment. It's a lesson for us as parents, instilling the faith that is required to serve God into the minds and hearts of our children. Now, Bible said that after 3 days, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back." "What do you mean?" Abraham says, "We will worship the place that the Lord has shown me. And then, not I will come back, but we will come right back." Faith. How do you rationalize that? If Isaac is about to be offered as a burnt offering, how is it that you're going to come back? Or how is it that he's saying that he's going to come back to his servants with Isaac? It has to do with how we see God and with what the promises of God were to Abraham. If God told Abraham that out of the lineage of Isaac, he's going to raise up a great family or a great number of descendants, Abraham believed God even up until this point. Number two, Abraham believed that God is good, and every demand of God to all his children is for the good. So how we view the Lord has to do a lot with how we respond to him. If we believe that God is just a punisher, one who just looks out to see when you fail and to prove you that you're a failure, we will not respond correctly to the Lord. But if we see him as the eternal God, a God who wants to have peace with his people, a God who wants to do good to humanity, then responding in faith becomes much more easier. And so, Abraham, the boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder. Here again, there's another clue. While he himself carried the fire and the knife, Isaac is still silent. And the two of them walked on together. Next, we hear now from Isaac. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. He said, we have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But there, where is the sheep for the burnt offering? He understands what constitutes a burnt offering. He knows. Abraham responded, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. He's committed to doing what God has required from him. Worship is bloody. Worship demands. Worship is obedience by faith. Worship is total surrender. What this tells us too, brothers and sisters, that faith is not passive. And faith cannot be executed in disobedience or from a heart that is not submissive or surrendered to the Lord. Abraham looked on his son that he loved so much. Listens to God. Hears the demand of God. And is set out in his heart to please God rather than himself. Binds the lad. Puts him on the altar on top of the wood. Picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Abraham, Abraham, twice. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. How? I was willing to obey God to the very end. Doesn't matter how ridiculous the demand seemed. Abraham did not question. He said, now I know that you truly fear God. How? By obedience. By showing that he's totally surrendered. His heart is totally surrendered to God. Brothers and sisters, we need to move away from the norms of our assemblies, our Christian culture that is so passive, and respond to God with a heart of obedience to do. Faith brings results. Faith is never passive, and faith requires obedience and a surrendered heart. Bible said that Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram, and sacrifice it as a burnt offering in place of his son. What did Jesus say in John chapter 6 and verse 38? Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven." Came down, I'm coming from heaven. "Not to do mine own will." Not my agenda. But the will of him that sent me. How many of us tonight can say that we are believers of Jesus Christ and we are serving him not to do our own will, but his will? It's easy for us to say that. But the Lord said to Abraham, or what he said, tells us that the Lord is not looking on our eloquent or speeches, but he looked on Abraham, not when he set out on the journey to go seeking out that place in Moriah. Not when he left his two servants after having found the mountain. God was silent. Not when he bound up the hands of Isaac, laid him on top of the altar, on top of the woods. God was silent. But when he lifted up his hand with the knife, ready to take the life of Isaac at the final moment, the angel of the Lord cried out, "Call him by name." What does that tell us, brothers and sisters? Is that God is really looking on our actions. Worship is a hands-on, intimate act of obedience with the Lord. It shows up in our actions. Everybody can say we have faith. That's why Brother James says any person can talk about their passive faith that shows no work. He says, when I'm ready to talk about my faith, I will show you faith along with works. Why? Because between the works and my faith is a heart that's surrendered totally. And a heart that is obedient to my God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, though he were a son, he's talking now about Jesus Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. All them that obey him. Philippians 2 and verse 5. And we will close with this one. It says, let this mind be in you, the mind that the believers of Jesus Christ should have, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Brothers and sisters, we are priests in God's kingdom. And when we look back in scriptures from Leviticus, we recognize that all the priests, all they did was serving. That was their whole duty, to serve. Says he took upon him, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself. That sounds like Abraham. It looks like Abraham. Looks like the spirit he had. Humbled himself. Lord, this is a terrible word. I got to fast about it. This demand is so difficult. I'm going to pray about it. We never need to pray about any of God's command. We just need to do. We never pray about what is commanded in scriptures. We do it. We listen and we do. He said, and became obedient unto death. This is how every believer should think. This is the mind that every believer should have. Faith has something to say about obedience. The mind that the Lord had. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's a shame. Curses anyone who dies on a tree. But he's obedient even to the death of a cross, on the cross. Wherefore, because of that, God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What did the Lord say to Abraham? Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. Do you understand that this statement tells us of the elevated position of Abraham in the sight of God? That was his last trial. But obedience, a heart that is surrendered to God, allowed us now to see the writer to the Hebrews talking about this man, Abraham, that his faith was counted as righteousness. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it's by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. Tells us in the end. That was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. Faith. Scripture will have us to understand, brothers and sisters, as I close, that it is believed that this act of faith to Jews, they believe that Abraham's act of faith played a significant role even to the death of Sarah, who only found out after. Brothers and sisters, every person who is called by God must know where their life is going. What is the demand that the Lord has placed on your life? What is the purpose that we serve in His kingdom? Most of us, we are satisfied with just being in church, in the assembly, and never being challenged, passive. There's a next dimension to that. And there are some of us, we are in the assembly and we want to function. We would like to bring results, but we never surrender our hearts to the Lord. We're not submissive. And a heart that is not submissive is a heart or a vessel that will not be used. Brothers and sisters, when we look on the response from the angel to Abraham, now I know that you fear God.